And today's remarks will serve as a hakdama to the limud, which we will, Ibrit Hashem, begin in earnest with the first full-length chabur tomorrow. The Mishnah tells us in Klal Gadol and Daf Ayin Gimel that there are 39 malachos, and malacha number 39 is the malacha of Hotzah. It appears in the Mishnah as the final malacha on the list. Hamotzi Mirshus Lushus. And we know from the Mishnah, both in Perek HaSarek, at the beginning of the Masechta, that the Isser of Hotzah includes two Daraisa flavors. There is Hotzah, Mirshus, Lirshus, meaning Hotzah from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, or from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. And there's also an Isser Daraisa, part of the same Malacha, of Ma'avir Dalet Amos, Rishus HaRabim, of transporting something, carrying something for four Amos in a Rishus HaRab. So although the Mishnah in Klal Gadol lists Hotzah as Malacha 39 out of 39, we know that the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, the first Mishnah in Yetzias HaShabbos, focuses on none other than the Malacha of Hotzah. Yetzias HaShabbos, Shayim Shin Arba, Bifnim, Shayim Shin Arba, Bachutz. And Tosus here on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first Tosus in the Masechta, is bothered. Why is it that the Mishnayos in Masechta Shabbos begin with the Malacha of Hotzah? Wouldn't have been more logical to begin with Mishnah from Daf Tes, with Hachanos of Erev Shabbos, and to go on from there? Why is it that the Masechta begins with the Malacha of Hotzah? That Tosfos is Kasha, of Yerushalayim asked that as well. Tosfos here presents three Terutzim. The third of the three Terutzim of Tosfos, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, focuses on the fact that Hotzah is a Malacha Grua, literally an inferior type of malacha, and because it is a malacha grua, the Mishnayos felt the need of highlighting it first. Tosfos also uses that notion of malacha grua to explain the following. Tosfos Dibur Maskil Pasha Bal Baisis Yadav here on Daf Beis Amud Aleph of Masechta Shabbos. Tosfos is bothered along the same lines. Why is it that the Mishnah here at the beginning of the Masechta goes through such detail about different variations of Hotzah? Couldn't we have learned out one from the next? And Tosfos assumes that the reason we could not necessarily have learned out one seer from the next, you have all these seerim of Ani and Baal Bayis inside and outside, why do you have to tell me every last detail? Because Hotzah is a Malacha Grua, so we wouldn't necessarily have known what is Pasha, what I could learn from one seer to another. And that's why the Mishnayos have to spell out all its theorem, Avi.
Can you elaborate on that one point, why the fact that it's Malacha Guru requires additional elaboration?
It's not so much elaboration, but focus. Oh, I'm sorry, the second point. Because since there is a certain, we'll see what Malacha Guru means, but since there is a certain illogic to the mechanism of Hotzah, you wouldn't necessarily have been able to apply standard logical principles. So if the whole malacha itself is a chiddush on some level, so that restricts my ability to derive point one from point two. That's Tosfos' basic assumption. We're not focusing on any of these issues per se. We're just highlighting some introductory concepts that you should be aware of before we get on to the main limud. That's Tosfos' point. So both the fact that the Mishnah begins with Hotzah and the fact that the Mishnah is going to significant detail, according to this Teretz and Tosfos, are a function of Hotzah being a Malacha Grua. What does it mean that Hotzah is a Malacha Grua? So Tosfos here explains, Mali Motzi Mirshus HaYachid Lirshus HaRabim, Mali Motzi Mirshus HaRabim Lirshus HaYachid. That logically, Mali Motzi Mirshus HaRabim Lirshus HaYachid, Mali Motzi Mirshus HaYachid Lirshus HaYachid. If a person carries an object from a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, that's a Malacha Daraisa. If a person carries an object from Rishus HaYachid A to Rishus HaYachid B without any other Rishus in the middle, then that is Heter Gamur. Fundamentally, the action is exactly the same. There's no greater effort, there's no different action taken by the Motzi Mirshus HaYachid Lishus HaRabim than the Motzi Mirshus HaYachid Lishus HaYachid. It's all the same action, and yet one flavor of that action is a Chiyuv D'Oraisa, and the other is Heter Gamur. So because there is no difference in quality of action, yet there is a significant difference in din, that's what Tosfos thinks is the Malacha Grua aspect of Hotzah. Tosfos Rashi here has a slightly different take. Tosfos Rashi, Dibur Maskil Yetzios, writes as follows. She'ilu hayanosei chefetz gadol kol hayom b'shus hayachid lo mechayev. The person can carry the heaviest object all day in Rishus HaYachid and not violate any prohibition. I mean, derives a prohibition. The Ilu Hotzi Kirgo Geres Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaRabim Mechayev. Again, if a person carries the smallest object from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, that creates a Chiyuv Daraisa. So there's a certain counterintuitive nature in the Malacha of Hotzah that it's not a function of the action, it's not a function of the exertion or the effort. Now we know that Melechas Machshavas HaSatorah and Melechas and Shabbos in general are not a function of Tircha, but nevertheless the difference here is more striking between the image of someone being Motzi, a heavy, or being Maber, heavy object in Rishus HaYachid, that is Heter government of Torah, as opposed to being Motzi, the smallest object, from Rishus to Rishus. And the Ramban writes something similar there as well. So either way, be it the difference in quality of action, the counterintuitive nature of what is considered Hotzah, Hotzah is a Malacha Grua, which could result in, for Tosfos here, it results in a Havana in the emphasis of the Mishnah. There are other nafkaminas, more practical nafkaminas potentially, in the fact that Hotzah is a Malacha Grua. That's not our focus for today. If you want to take a look at a analysis of this issue, in Kol Tzvi Volume 7, which is the Kol Tzvi that I edited, I think about 10 years ago, 11 years ago. So in that Kol Tzvi, the Kol was learning Hotzah that year, so Ronzweig has an article on Malacha Grua, which is a chabur that he gave to the Kolel, so you can take a look at that. By the way, if anyone will be quoting various articles in that Kol Tzvi, because we reprinted a significant amount of material on the Manhattan Erev and Erevin issues, I have a whole box in my office if anyone wants a copy. I have to find out from Avi Bronstein if I have to charge you for it, but I can't imagine it'll be more than $5. I don't know where the money would go at this point. But for somewhere between $0 and $5, I have a whole box of that Kol Tzvi. Okay. So Min HaTorah, we know that there are two Rishiyos. Min HaTorah, there's Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid, which we'll be spending a significant amount of time in defining, but without definitions, a public domain, a private domain. So Min HaTorah, there's a Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid, and we know that Mavri Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim or Motzi Rishus Rishus is Chayiv. Anything other than Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid is considered Min HaTorah as a Malkum Petur. So if I have something that doesn't meet the threshold of Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, so then Min HaTorah, there's no Isser in carrying from a Rishus HaRabim to an area that is not a Rishus HaYachid, but not a Rishus HaRabim either. In Min HaTorah, that's all called a Malkum Petur. However, in the Rabbanan, Chazal carved out another category called a Carmelis. So a Carmelis is not a Rishus HaRabim Min HaTorah, not a Rishus HaYachid Min HaTorah, but it has the Chumros of both Midirabbanan. What is the language of Carmelis? So if you look at Tosas Shabbos Daf Vav Amud Aleph Dibur Maskil Carmelis, Tosas quotes the Yerushalmi, Miloshen Carmel Rach Umal Lo Lach Lo Yavish Ela Beinoni. So Carmelis is Lokesh Yisayachid, Lokesh Yisarabim. So it's not too hot, not too cold, just right. So it's somewhere in the middle. It's not a Rish Yisayachid, it's not a Rish Yisarabim. That's what we have in Shulchan Aruch. Simen Shin Mem Hei Sif Aleph Aber Rishus HaShabbos, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, Carmelis, Umakom Petur. And the Ramah here quotes the definition of Carmelis, or the etymology of Carmelis, Perish Rach Mal, Lo Lach V'lo Yavish, Ela Beinoni, Hachanami, Lo Rishus HaYachid, Lefi She'ein La Mechitzos, Lo rishis harabim she'en adama l'digle midbar, the lovely lucha d'rabim avida. So the Ramah quotes that etymological origin of Carmelis. Other Rishonim have different suggestions as well. And then whatever is not a Carmelis, even after Chazal's carve-out, remains a Makom Ptur. And that is the topic of Simon Shin Mem Hei, defining what's Rishis HaRavim, what's Rishis HaYachid, what's a Carmelis, excuse me, and what remains a Makom Ptur. Just a reminder for whoever wasn't here yesterday, please bring with you minimally when you come to the Chabur, say Mishabur HaChela Dalid, and preferably when we are dealing with Sugyas in Shabbos Erev in the relevant Gemara as well. Okay. So why is it important to define, for our purposes, what's a Rishis HaRavim versus a Rishis HaYachid, and what's a Carmelis? The focus of our discussion in this limud is going to be, how do you create a heter tiltel, how do you create an allowance to carry in an area that otherwise one is not permitted to carry in? Which is colloquially what we refer to as an Erev, a community Erev. Now we'll see that in something that is defined as a Rishis HaRavim D'Oraisa, it is either impossible or at least impractical to construct what we would usually refer to as an Erev. And the reason for that is based on two sugyas, one on Daf Kafbeis and Erevin, one on Daf Vav and Erevin. The sugya on Daf Kafbeis is the sugya of Asu Rabim Umavatli Mechitza, that the Rabim, the masses, come and they are Mevatel a Mechitza. So we're not going to have, we'll deal with that behem sheikh. But for our purposes, what emerges from when all the dust settles in that sugya, what emerges is that it is at the very least impractical to construct an Erev, which typically is constructed using a Tzuras HaPesach, in a Rishis HaRavim D'Oraisa. It could be that you would require Delasos, you require Duras, it could be that you need Delasos Ne'ulos Balayla, it could be that even that doesn't help. So all these details we'll have to flesh out, but in terms of the order of our limud, we're first going to focus on defining Rishiyos, what's a Rishis HaRavim, what's a Rishis HaYachid, and then almost by default, what's a Carmelis, with the understanding that for all intents and purposes, constructing what we call an Erev is only feasible in a Carmelis. If you have a Rishis HaRavim D'Oraisa, it's not going to work. And then after we define what's a Rishis HaRavim, what's a Rishis HaYachid, what's a Carmelis, and then the various flavors of Carmelis, like a Karpef, which we'll have to talk about, then we will focus on the sugya of Asu Rabim and Vavli Mechitza to figure out why exactly you can't construct an Erev in a Rishis HaRavim D'Oraisa, and then we'll talk about the actual details of constructing an Erev or Mechitzas. We'll discuss what's considered a valid Mechitza and what are the details of a Tzuras HaPesach. Yeah?
That's probably more popular. Let me actually go through the details, so never mind.
Okay, good. Everything, as with many limudim, we need time to just put all the pieces together, and we'll have to at least reference topics that we're not able to flesh out before we get to fleshing them out, otherwise we won't be able to start anywhere. So we're going to have to start somewhere, and we may make certain assumptions when we start that we'll have to explain and flesh out as we go on. Okay, so far so good. Now, Rav Schechter always points out that what we refer to as an Erev is, in a sense, a colloquialism, a Yiddishism, that, strictly speaking, the term Erev usually refers to an Erev Chatzeros. Erev Chatzeros is the mechanism through which residents of a common courtyard can carry in that courtyard through having a pas, or typically matzos, that are the jointly owned by all residents of the chatzer. So, strictly speaking, Erev usually refers to Erev Chatzeros. Colloquially, when referred to building an Erev, you really mean building a series of Tzuras HaPesachs. That being said, the Gemara does seem to use Erevin in that context, at least one way. If you look at the Gemara on Erevin and Daf Vav Amud Aleph, Gemara asks, sorry? Vav Amid Aleph, at the two dots toward the bottom, Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Me'arvin Derech Rishis Arabim. How are you Me'arev a Derech Rishis Arabim? So the Gemara Tzmachlok asks, do you need a Tzuritza Pesach on one side? Do you need a Dallas on one side? Can you have a Dallas and a Lechi B'Korah? Potentially multiple way machlokes tanayim here. But the Gemara in asking case of Ma'arv and Derech Rishis Arabim at this side, at this point, seems to be asking about creating a Heter Tiltol in a Rishis Arabim. So it seems that at least in one context, the Gemara uses the verb form of Ma'arev to refer not to an Erev Chatzeros, but to what we colloquially refer to as an Erev, as creating a mechanism that would allow for Tiltol in an otherwise unenclosed area. Okay, the In Shulchan Aruch we have in Simen Shin Samach Vav, Se'if Yud Gimel, Shin Samach Vav Se'if Yud Gimel, Mitzvah Lachzer Achar Eruvei Chatzeros, that there is a mitzvah to enact Eruvei Chatzeros, to allow the residents of a joint courtyard to carry from one residence to another, and through the courtyard on Shabbos. Okay, Shin Samach Vav Se'if Yud Gimel. There's a mitzvah to ensure the proper establishment of a Eruvei Chatzeros. And then we have in Simen Shin Sarihei, Mitzvah Lachzer Achar Shitufei Mevoros. There's a mitzvah to ensure the proper execution of the Shitufei Mevoros. Shitufei Mevoros, Mavoi, for our purposes, is a alleyway that has Shtei Batim and Shtei Chatzeros. It has at least two houses and two Chatzeros that open into the alleyway. So there is a similar kind of mechanism that needs to be in place to allow for carrying into a Mavoi. The details of Shitav Mavoos and the Eruv HaChatzeros are a little bit different. In some senses, Shitav Mavoos are more kal. But here as well, it says in Shulchan Aruch that one should ensure that a Shitav Mavoos is properly established. This is all based on a sugya in Erevin, Daf Samach Zayin, Daf Samach Ches, that seems to indicate that it is a responsibility of Rabbanim to ensure that Eruv HaChatzeros is properly established. What about establishing what we colloquially refer to as an Eruv? But that doesn't appear anywhere beferish in Shulchan Aruch. Rav Schechter quotes and others quote a famous Tshuva Sarash. Tshuva Sarash is in Klal Kaf Aleph Simen Ches. Klal Kaf Aleph Simen Ches. And the Rush there seems to indicate that there may be a parallel obligation to create what we colloquially refer to as an Erev, a Heter Tiltol, in a broader area. The Rush there writes, responding to a Shoel, Al Indian Ha'erev Shenogu B'chol Golios Yisrael Lahatir B'vo'osein HaMifulashin Bein Akusiv B'tzuras HaPesach. So as far as making an Erev, that is always a practice among the Jewish people to allow for carrying in a Mavi Mefulash Bein HaKusim, a street, a thoroughfare, an alleyway that goes among where the non-Jews live, with a Tzuras HaPesach, the Ata Sarto So L'Kahal, the name of the community, etc. So the Rush writes that is inappropriate. That a mafshil es harabim the chilul Shabbos, By not erecting these Tzuras HaPesach to allow for carrying this area, you are being mashal people in Chil Shabbos. L'chein ani gozer alecha achar she'inasin l'chatzav zeh be'edim. So I decree, after you receive this letter, in certified mail, she'etetaken ha'mevoas ha'mefuloshim v'shesarav m'shalkusim in Tzuras HaPesach tosh shvuayim. Achar she'tirak tzav zeh. So you have 2 weeks from the time you get this letter to get going and to create a Tzuras HaPesach Eruv to allow for carrying in the streets. And if you're not going to establish the Tzuras HaPesach as I command, then I will put you in Nidoy. So this is a marmakam often quoted among the Rishonim, indicating the strong preference in erecting a Eruv when possible. In the Kol Svi that I referenced before, we printed some material there that the YU archives, there's a collection on the Manhattan Eruv. For those of you who aren't familiar, the Manhattan Eruv that doesn't exist anymore was a theory beginning, I think, in the 1950s or so, that because Manhattan was generally surrounded by Milchisa Sayam, by seawalls, with some breaks that could be patched up, so that itself constituted a Rishis HaYacha that would allow carrying inside Manhattan. So the two broad issues that have to be discussed in that context are, number one, is Manhattan Rishis HaYacha Min HaTorah, Rishis HaRab Min HaTorah, and then number two, how do those Milchisas work? One of the responses about that issue was written by the Tel Aviv Rosh Yeshiva, Eli Meir Bloch. So there he writes that everyone quotes this the din by that we just quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that is a mitzvah lafzer achar eruv chaseres and achar shita mevos. He says that's true, that's an eruv chaseres and shita mevos. That doesn't mean that there's a mitzvah to make a eruv that surrounds the whole city. He's not mitzayin this Jew is a rush there. So it's true that in Shulchan Aruch you don't have any specific reference to this notion, but the Jew is a rush does seem to be addressing such a situation, although arguably on a smaller scale than a large city. The topic of constructing Eruvin is something that for generations has aroused a significant emotional interest on both sides of the issue. And as we go on, we'll have to discuss what some of that is based on. But just to point out, as a marmokum, the notion of Eruv vandalism is not something new. There are at least two instances in the Gemara in Eruvin that seem to indicate very strong emotional responses to constructing of Eruvin that some viewed as problematic. So if you look, for example, in the Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in Eruvin, that's the main sugya of all the details of Tzuras HaPesach. So the Gemara there has one of the details of Tzuras HaPesach. It's a machlokas amaron whether tzrich and liga. So Tzuras HaPesach is a kanamikan, kanamikan, kan al gabayim. Tzuras HaPesach is you have a pole on one side, a pole on another side, or a stick on one side, a stick on another side, and then you have a kana al gabayim, you have a perpendicular stick on the top. So the machloka is between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman, whether tzrich and liga. So can you rely on the principle of labud, sorry, the principle of good office, that if you have your kan mikan, it doesn't have to touch the kan al gabayin. You can rely on the principle of good office that it goes all the way up and halakhically touches what's on the top, or does it have to actually physically touch what's on the top? So Rav Nachman says ein tzrich and liga, and Rav Sheshes says tzrich and liga. So Gemara relates the following. Also Rav Nachman v'aver uvda be'reish galusa kishmaisei. So Rav Nachman went and he erected a Tzuras HaPesach based on his tzak of Ein Tzrich and Liga. So he erected a Tzuras HaPesach where the Kana Mikan, the Kana Mikan was now touching the Kana Agadeh. So Amalei Rav Sheshes l'shamei Rav Gada. So Rav Sheshes said to his servant Rav Gada, Zil Shalof Shadinu, go and remove the Tzuras HaPesach that Rav Nachman made and throw it away. Azal Shalav Shadidu. So the servant went and he removed Rav Nachman's Tzuras HaPesach and he threw it away. So Ashkechua, the Bei Reish Galusa, so the people in the Bei Reish Galusa found out what happened. They found that Rav Gada was vandalizing Rav Nachman's Erev at Rosh Hashanah's request. And Rav Nachman was Chas of the Bei Reish Galusa, so he was part of that family. Chavshua. So they put Rav Gada in jail for Erev vandalism. Oh, so Rosh Hashanah's come above her, he went to the gate, Amalei Gada, poke. Come out. Okay. So that's instance number one, where there was a egregious act of Erev vandalism in the Gemara, and then there were consequences. Number two, if you look in the Gemara on Kafei Mavez, the Gemara there has the following four lines in the bottom. Hahu Avarnaka, there's a certain tree, a certain big tree. Tavalei Reish Galusa Bibostini, the Reish Galusa had this big tree, in his Boston as an area that is a karpif. We'll learn as we go on that a karpif is an area that's more than Beis Hasayim, which is not Hukaf Ladira, which is not used for residential purposes, and there's an Isra Tiltol Midirabanan in a karpif. So there was this tree that the Reish Galusa had in a karpif. So Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinana Li'avid Marta Kansa Tilamachar Nachal Nachmash Hasam. So Rav Huna Bar Chinana said, I want to eat, we want to have a Suda on Shabbos at this tree. So do something so that we'll be able to carry in the vicinity of this tree. Azal Abed Kana Kana Pachas Mishlosha. So he went and he created a kind of mechitza involving kanim that were less than three tvachim from each other. Azal Rava Shalfinu. And Rava came and he took these kanim down because he held that the kanim were not valid. There wasn't a valid mechitza. My purpose isn't the dean of the year. But yes. So then Azul Rav Papa Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua Natinu Mibasrei Umachar. So they took them away. They didn't just take it down, but they removed all these kanim so that they wouldn't be able to put them up again. Okay. So at least two instances in the Gemara of Erev vandalism, which, while I'm not endorsing, does seem to have some early rabbinic precedent. Okay, so with that introduction, what we're going to be focusing on first, Birkas Hashem, is the topic of what is Erev Shus HaRabim. If there's anyone who's not on the Google Groups, please, before you leave me your email address, I can add you. But the Mar Mekomos, the initial Mar Mekomos, are posted there. We'll be focusing, you'll see that there are various requirements for Shus HaRabim, and we'll be focusing on them one at a time. So you should just take a look at the broad picture first, briefly, the Gemara in Daf Shabbos, Vavam and Aleph, that defines what Shus HaRabim is, and the related Mar Mekomos there in Tosos that you have in the sheet. And the relevant sefer Shulchan Aruch, and then don't spend time on the details all now. You'll spend time as we go on. So the first topic that we'll discuss tomorrow is the definition of platya and sratya, the Gemara and Shabbos and Davov, and the status of the derech aholech in the early ear, an intercity highway. And then we'll go on to discuss tezayin ama and mechuvan and mefulish and mekura, and then the last subtopic will be shisha riba. So the long bear halacha that you have here on Shishim Riba, don't look at that yet. We'll focus on that. It'll take us a couple weeks, at least, to get through the details of Rosh Shus HaRabim. So what do we decide? Nimrod wanted to have
is
a
Riba.
Is
it okay if we move it on a Wednesday to this week, just to, for like, say, try for like 2 weeks, if people don't, like 2-3 weeks, people don't like
okay.
it, and then we can...
I'm sorry?